And now here is your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend and can give us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're welcoming your participation. That's very, very important to us. All right. Panel is full. We are waiting for Laurie, but he just walked in, so I guess we're all set now. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So feel free to give us a call. Do it as soon as you can, please, because sometimes we do get slightly crowded toward the end of the show, but give us a call soon and we'll get you on, okay? That number is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And then we have a toll-free number at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. And I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, that's one word, mindsovermatter, at yahoo.com. So feel free to email us. We don't read them during the show, but it's always great to hear from our listeners. So that's mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. Also, if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of this show, the lovely and talented Debbie is here tonight. So she will provide that, her usual fine job, and that should be available very soon after our show tonight. If you called in and want to hear your voice over and over again, well, that's the way to do it. So that'll be at kalw.org. All right. All that being said, we want to start with a round of introductions, and here's the first. Much as he admires him, Jerry Nachman is all poked out.
Thank you, Dana. Well, it was a busy week, along with the harvest moon, Yom Kippur, the Pope's visit, the elimination of both the White Sox and Giants from postseason play, and tonight's lunar eclipse. Lori Fisher is ready to have a much less eventful week.
And it's already not starting out well.
Yes.
Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, did not attend the Folsom Street Fair today, but he has donned his black leather underwear and invited your verbal abuse for the next hour.
All right.
I hope I can contribute to that.
Whip me, if only in a symbolic way. And we'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, what cartoon character is named after a real person?
There's just one?
Is it a comic strip or a cartoon? When you
cartoon.
Say
not a comic strip.
Cartoon. Is this cartoon still around? I mean, do they still do these cartoons?
Or? I'm not sure.
But very well known?
I think so. What, the comic strip?
Yeah, the cartoon character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody like Popeye, somebody in that kind of time period?
Yeah. All very popular.
You're looking for a first and last name on this? Is it a first and last name?
Partly.
Okay. Well, then I think I know they named Bugs Bunny after a writer at Warner Brothers called Bugs Hardaway.
No.
Okay.
Is named after a well-known person.
Okay.
Bugs Hardaway was not
well-known. Not too well-known.
All right. Well-known person.
So the well-known person and the cartoon character have the same name.
Partly.
So it's like...
Partly.
Well, like one of the names. Like
if you don't mind telling, is it the first or the last name?
I'm not telling you anymore. I've told you too much.
So it's something like Elmer Fudd.
Something like Elmer Fudd, but not Elmer.
The Elmer's it and the Fudd isn't or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. We're dancing around.
Read the question once more, would you?
What cartoon character is named after a real person?
A real person. Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. I guess it's not the Goofy Gophers. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're in Union City.
Hello.
The character's not Charlie Brown, is it?
Who?
Charlie Brown.
Was actually named after a person, but not a famous person. He was named after a
Charles Soule.
He was named after a car.
Charlie Brown after a real person.
What?
No, but
he came up with a character of Charlie Brown that was actually a real person.
Yeah, I said that. He was named after... Charlie Brown was named after a cartoon friend of Schultz's, but...
Jerry made the point it was this person...
was a failure in real life, by the way.
Right. But
this is a famous person.
A famous person.
Yeah. I got a couple questions.
All right.
You know, with Hispanic Heritage Month coming up, I brought up that on one show I told Steve Van Buren was the very first NFL Hispanic NFL player to be inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Steve
and
Van
Anthony Munoz was the second one. But what they, but now can you name those, what other team those two were selected? Were selected to?
I didn't hear any of that. Would you repeat that, Dana?
Who were the? Well,
Steve Van Buren and Anthony Munoz.
No, not you. Have Dana repeat it.
Well, I have to hear it too. That Steve Van Buren was the first Hispanic.
And Anthony Munoz.
Yeah, he was born in Honduras, by the way.
So what's the question?
So who are?
They were part of another honor bestowed by the NFL. Do you know what it was?
Wait a minute. Let's start all over. Steve Van Buren was what, and then what, Dana?
He was a running back for the Philadelphia Eagles, though.
No, I want Dana to
say. Well, I have to hear it first, Jerry.
But you've heard it.
So
I can't understand.
But what you're looking for the other Hispanic players who were in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, with Anthony Munoz. I got to think there was still with another honor.
No.
Well, there was the Raiders quarterback
Jim Plunkett.
Jim Plunkett
but he's
was
Native American.
Oh, Native American. Oh, okay.
Is it,
I give it to you?
Anthony Gonzalez? Tony Gonzalez?
They were on the NFL 75th anniversary all-time team.
How about Tony Romo? Tony Romo?
No, the NFL 75th anniversary all-time team. The only Hispanics ever given that honor.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's my second question.
Very slowly.
Was supposed to compose a jazz rock work for a certain jazz rock group, but nothing came of it. Do you know what a group was?
Once more, Gareth, I'm sorry.
Very slowly, Gareth.
Jerry Goldsmith was supposed to compose a symphonic jazz rock work for a jazz rock group, but nothing came of it. Do you know what a group was?
Dana, would you repeat that, please?
No, I don't even know the answer to it. Jerry Goldsmith?
Well, I'll give you a clue. It comes after, it's the other group that comes after Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
I don't know.
Comes after Blood, Sweat,
gotta
and Tears.
Gotta hear it to be able to answer it.
Well, it was. I'll give you a clue. They were managed by the same guy, and they both recorded for the same label.
No. Santana?
Oh.
What? Nope.
Okay.
I said, you know what? I want to give you the answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Chicago.
Oh.
Oh, all right. All right, sorry we didn't do better on that, Gareth.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. And Lori, go ahead.
All right. Well, I have some moon questions, since tonight is a big moon night, harvest and super moon and lunar eclipse.
A blood moon, too.
Yeah.
It's a harvest moon tonight?
It is.
Oh,
yeah.
Shine on.
So as far as this might be one where I think I know the answer, and there might be 20 answers, but I think there's only been one movie that has the word moon in it that's been nominated for Best Picture, and only two actresses in a movie with the word moon in it that have been nominated for Best Actress. So which movie?
Moonstruck. Well, the one with Cher, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's Moonstruck.
And then there was the one set in Marin with Diane Keaton, Over the Moon or...
Okay, so Moonstruck is the one that was nominated for Best Picture, and Cher is the only one who's won. I'm looking for the other actress who was nominated for a movie with the word moon in it.
Actress.
Was it for
Audrey Hepburn or Moon River?
It wasn't her, because that was Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, okay.
And,
you're right.
Best Actress, yeah.
Sorry.
So Best Actress,
yeah.
Okay. Not Moon Over Parador.
It's not.
that was kind of funny. Let's see.
A little more, yeah.
What is that movie I'm thinking
of? Oh, yeah. Oh, Debbie suggested Paper Moon.
It's not, but that had two nominees for supporting actress, Tatum O'Neill and Madeline Kahn.
Tatum O'Neill won.
Yeah, but that was for supporting.
Shoot the Moon, was that a movie?
Shoot the Moon, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of with Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
And Albert Finney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, that's not it.
That's not it.
Okay.
It's before that.
All right. Tell people.
So I was looking for a movie nominated for Best Picture with the word mood in it, and it was Moonstruck. And I was looking for two actresses nominated for Best Actress in movies with the word moon. Cher was it, and one. I'm looking for the other one.
Okay. All right.
Both. It's an older movie from the 50s.
Oops. I know what it is now.
Oops, all right.
Never give him the decade.
Yeah, I know.
Never give him the decade.
It's Maggie McNamara in The Moon is Blue.
It is.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of her until I looked it up.
She only made a few movies.
Yeah.
Very cute and
sexy. She had to retire because she had some mental issues, I understand.
Really?
Yeah.
She was very, very kind of...
quirky.
Quirky and sweet. Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Okay. All right. That clears that.
Okay. All right. Let me give you a couple questions, and we'll start to take some more calls. Dorothy Parker, the famous wit and writer, was nominated for an Academy Award twice. once for, you probably won't get the second film she was nominated for, but the first one is quite famous and has been remade a couple of times. So she was nominated for screenwriting twice, once for a very famous film. And the second part of the question is, what Hitchcock film did she co-write?
Wow.
So Dorothy
and,
Parker.
And not nominated for the Hitchcock film?
She was not nominated for a Hitchcock film.
So we're looking for three.
Well, two. I mean, if you want to give me the second one that she was nominated for a screenplay for, that's great. It's a harder get, but it's possible.
Was the Hitchcock film Shadow of a Doubt?
It was not.
How about Strangers on a Train?
It was not Strangers on a Train. That was Raymond Chandler.
Yeah, just by himself?
Yeah.
I thought
well, no,
people.
It was a couple of different
is
people.
Is she the only screenwriter on the...
She is not. She is not. So let me just go over the whole thing once more. Dorothy Parker, the wit and writer, was nominated for an Academy Award for screenwriting twice, once in the 30s and once in the 40s. The 30s film, which is the by far the more famous, has been remade a couple of times. She also co-wrote a Hitchcock, an Alfred Hitchcock film. And if you see the film, you can see where her touches are in it.
For the 30s film, can you give us a genre of film?
Very roughly.
Roughly,
it's a drama.
Okay.
So it's
a little less roughly.
Her quick wit isn't necessarily...
Yeah, no, it's there. It's there.
It is there.
It's a comedy, a drama, not
and
a comedy.
And she co-wrote it with Alan Campbell, her husband.
And it's not a comedy, it's a drama.
There's comedy in it, but it's mostly a drama.
So it's less His Girl Friday and more To Have and Have Not.
Yeah, but it's not. It's nothing like To Have and Have Not.
Okay.
And all right, second question is, what I would like to know are, who are the three, what are the three best-selling books of all time that are written by American women? What are the three best-selling books of all time that are written by American woman authors?
Fiction or nonfiction or both?
I'm not going to say right at the moment.
Uncle Tom's Cabin?
That's a good guess. That's a good guess, but no.
Fear of Flying?
No.
Also a good guess. How about an Ayn Rand book? Ayn Rand?
No. Atlas Shrugged, yeah.
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Okay.
What are the three best-selling books of all time that have been written by American woman authors?
And would it be fair? Should we think about memoirs, like Oprah's memoir? Would that...
None of them are memoirs.
Okay.
Are they novels? Sort of are they all novels?
I'm not going to go any further except to say
that
they're not.
It has to be Color Purple.
No.
Oh, it doesn't have to be Color Purple.
You know, since nonfiction outsells fiction, I think maybe it's...
You think it's nonfiction?
Yeah. What's the recent book? Is one within the last 5 years?
No.
Okay.
So did you say it's fiction or nonfiction?
I didn't say.
He didn't.
You're saying...
Well, those are big-selling books, right? The Fear of Flying and Color Purple.
You're saying nonfiction
sells
better.
I'm saying I think nonfiction sells better, so it might be one of those.
All right. So, again, I'm looking for the three best-selling books of all time by American woman authors. And Dorothy Parker was nominated for an Academy Award twice for screenwriting. I'm principally interested in the first time she was nominated, which is for a very famous film from the 1930s, which has been remade a couple times. And what Hitchcock film did she co-write?
I have one of the books, I think, and I'm contradicting myself. Harper Lee, To Kill a Mockingbird.
It is not.
Oh.
Harper Lee, To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's almost.
It has sold, these books have sold more than To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That still sells about a million books a year.
Yeah, still not enough.
Okay.
And let's go to a call.
Not the Bible.
Not the Bible, no. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Carl and Batero Hill. I was going to guess that To Kill a Mockingbird. It's the only thing I got close to an answer on. I can't think of a cartoon thing at all, so I don't have any answers. I got a couple questions.
All right, go ahead.
Quickie, what fruit is grown in every state in the U.S. and Providence in Canada?
What fruit?
What fruit is grown in every state in the U.S. and Providence in Canada?
In Canada.
Food or fruit?
In the Northwest Territory.
I'm sorry. Did you say fruit?
Yes, fruit.
Okay.
Fruit.
How about grapes?
Fruit.
You're on the right size.
The right size.
The ground.
How about... low to the ground.
Low to the ground.
I was going to say cranberries.
No. Nah, I don't know. They need more.
Tomatoes. Tomatoes.
Low to the ground.
Tomatoes. Tomatoes.
Sorry, what?
Tomatoes.
Caller, tomatoes.
Tomatoes, no.
How about
fruit? Surprisingly, people don't realize.
I know, that's why I said it.
Yeah. I'll give you another hint.
Yes.
They're different from a lot of fruits because their seeds are somewhere else.
Strawberries. Strawberries.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Good job.
Side seeds are on the outside.
Who was the richest president ever?
Are we sort of taking this in terms of the time period they lived in?
John Kennedy.
Well, just it to $2010.
John Kennedy.
No. Way before him.
Well.
I think way back.
Rich.
Washington was rich. How about him?
Yeah, because his wife had a ton of money. She inherited inheritance.
That's it.
Mount Vernon.
Good job. Yeah.
So he's worth like $525 million.
More than Kennedy? Yeah, they had millions and millions.
Well, if you,
Washington didn't have millions.
Put it in terms of the time, I suppose.
Yeah,
yeah,
well.
500.
And it was his old, old man.
He didn't get it all. Don't forget he had brothers. And
right.
He didn't hear it. So.
Well, thank
but
you very much.
According to a 2010 analysis in Atlantic.
Oh, okay.
Good question.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman, from Diablo Valley College, teacher Laurie Fisher, and I am your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And if you'd care to call in, we'd certainly love to have you. The number is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. We also have a toll-free number at 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
It is you.
Okay, was the cartoon character Yogi Bear?
It was.
Oh.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good.
All right, good tribute to
Yogi. I thought
Yogi.
You guys would get that.
Oh,
yeah.
Right there. Excellent.
Yeah.
Is that it? Good job.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky Matty. How are you all doing?
Good, thanks.
Okay. Books. How about Gone with the Wind?
No.
That's
and
it.
Dorothy Parker for Hitchcock. How about Lifeboat?
No, that was one of the writers on Lifeboat. Oh, John Steinbeck was
really?
One of the writers on Lifeboat. Yeah, but no, not Dorothy Parker.
No, I think it would be an American film, and early on in like the 40s. And now I'm thinking again, like say, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
No.
That's a good guess.
Dana said it was a 30s movie, I think.
No, I didn't say that.
Not for the Hitchcock.
Oh, not the Hitchcock,
no. Either. But we're done.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
You want to give us a hint on the Hitchcock? Which Hitchcock era? British, American, 40s, 50s?
It's 40s. It's an American film.
In the 40s.
Yeah.
All right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. I had a question for everybody. So I wanted to ask, the 1780s song Yankee Doodle is the state anthem of which state?
Oh. Is it Connecticut?
Yeah.
Good job.
Is that right?
I sort of remember that.
Oh, Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Very good.
And then, the corollary to that question, what is the meaning of macaroni as used in that song?
Wasn't that the name of... No.
Yeah, it's called the macaroni. It's...
Macaroni was the
a fancy hat.
They had a badges that they would put to their corn hat. I think they called them macaronis. It's kind of they're multicolored cockades, I guess is the way you put it. Is that sort of it's kind of it or no?
No, I mean it's,
no.
It's a sartorial thing. But it's not a hat.
All right. Nothing to do with medals or decorations of any kind?
No.
He
stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni. That's the line?
Yeah.
Why would he do that? He had nothing to do with pasta, right?
No, it's not about pasta.
No, we don't know.
I don't know.
So it's basically a word for a fashionable fellow who dressed and spoke in an outlandishly affected manner.
Like a dandy. Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Oh, yeah, right. Very good.
Called it Dandy.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, the title makes sense.
That's a good explanation,
sense,
yeah.
I just shed a lot of light on that.
Oh, you did.
I did.
People, thank you very much.
People have learned something from the show. That's a very dangerous precedent to set.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And let's see. Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. I got three Canadian questions. We never talk about Canada very much.
You betcha.
People usually don't. But it's
I guess we're not going to be building a wall between us and Canada.
It's a great country.
Not with this kind of diplomacy. No.
Okay. Who is the first inductee into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame? That's the first question.
Do we have a year?
I don't have a year. What? Here's the second part. What later U.S. TV star was the CBC voice of Canada during World War II? Third part, what iconic Canadian-born TV actor's memoir was called Get a Life?
All right. Just go over the whole thing once more, please.
Who was the first inductee into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame? What later U.S. TV star was the CBC voice of Canada during World War II? And third part, what iconic Canadian-born TV actor's memoir was called Get a Life?
I think I know the Get a Life.
Yeah.
It's the fabulous William Shatner.
It is the fabulous William Shatner.
There you go.
Very good.
Okay.
Was Robert Goulet the inductee?
No, no.
he wouldn't be old enough.
And
oh, you mean music?
Yeah.
No.
And
no.
was the person who was the voice of Canada during, was that Lorne Greene?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I knew he was Canadian.
Excellent.
Still looking for the first inductee.
Is the music one kind of the Robert Goulet era or before or after?
Before.
Before, right?
Well, they kind of overlapped.
Guy Lombardo.
Oh.
Very good.
Right. The kids
very
love good. Guy Lombardo.
They do.
The Royal Mounted Canadian Orchestra.
Yes. Okay.
All right. You should give us another question.
All right. Oh, thank you.
That was good Canada. Yeah.
What do these musicals have in common? The Fantastics, 42nd Street, Three Penny Opera, Carnival, and Chicago.
Once more.
What do these musicals have in common, Broadway musicals? The Fantastics, Three Penny Opera, 42nd Street, Carnival, and Chicago.
You want to get us in the right ballpark at all? Is it about the content, awards?
Well, they were all made as money.
I'll tell you what it's not about. It's not about content, not about awards.
About money?
No.
They were all, they were all made as films, I think, before they even showed up on Broadway.
Not the Fantastics.
No.
Maybe not the Fantastics.
No. I don't know.
Something about the creative part, the writing or the musical?
Something about the creative part. I don't want to say creative part. No, it's not about that exactly.
They're
in the creative area.
It's what they're based on? Are we getting close?
No.
Okay.
All right. Let me think about it.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds That Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Macaroni does have to do with pasta.
Oh.
How?
It was a group of 18th century aristocracy, the young gentlemen making the European tour to finish their education, picked up macaroni in Italy and came back to London and started the Macaroni Club. And they dressed very flamboyantly.
Ah, so there is a connection, yeah.
Interesting.
We're known as dandies.
Very nice.
All right.
It's such good listeners.
Thank you. And Jerry, I have another cartoon character named after somebody famous.
Oh, okay. I thought there might be somebody else. What?
Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, both of them.
Oh, they're named after the philosophers.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Very good. Very good.
And for women writers, how about Louisa May Alcott?
No.
No?
Yeah. These are all...
She's been selling books for a long time.
That's very true. She stopped selling books about 100 years ago. But
her books go on.
These are all 20th century, mid and later 20th century books.
All right. I have a question. What do these three actors have in common in their filmographies? Mm-hmm. Betty Davis, John Voight, and Harrison Ford.
Davis, Voight, Harrison Ford.
What do they all have in common?
In their filmographies, right?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Davis, Voight, Ford.
Perhaps I should say TVography.
Is this a biographical thing or a...
Yes.
Were they all on the same TV show at some point as a guest star?
They were.
On the same show at the same time?
Not the same time.
Okay. So like U.S. Steel or something like that?
So I know Betty Davis was subbed for Raymond Burr on Perry Mason.
No.
As when he was off sick or something, but she took over the lead role. But that's not it. Okay.
But is it something like one of those shows like U.S.?
It's a very long-running show.
Long-running, like The Twilight Zone.
Anything like Gunsmoke, maybe?
Excellent, yes.
Okay.
Perfect. Oh.
I knew Harrison Ford was on Gunsmoke. I don't remember Betty Davis on Gunsmoke.
Yeah, she did a special appearance.
Yeah, NPR did a little piece on Gunsmoke. It's
an
anniversary of some kind.
Yeah.
The 60th anniversary of the start of the show.
Yeah, great show.
Good job.
I was really glad they did that.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. And Lori, your turn.
All right. Well, besides the eclipse, this is a big week for the Pope. So I have a movie question about popes in the movies. As far as I can tell, there have been many popes in the movies, but only two of them have been played by actors who won Academy Awards, not for playing the Pope, for playing something else, but right. They were distinguished enough. And again, I could be wrong on this, but two actors who won Academy Awards not playing a Pope played a Pope.
Well, I know Cyril Magnin played the Pope, but he didn't win an Academy Award.
He did, yeah. Classic appearance.
Well, I know Anthony Quinn played the Pope I think it's a relatively decent movie, Shoes of the Fisherman. Yeah.
It's relatively decent.
Pope Kirill.
Yeah. At the end, he becomes the Pope, and he gives away all the papal treasures, to solve poverty.
Are there two that are...
There's one left.
The later one, Academy Awards, for other parts.
Either later or before. I'd have to look at the time. Yeah, but there's one. Anthony Quinn is one of them.
Alec Guinness played the Pope in Brother, Son, Sister, Moon, Francis of Assisi, Alec Guinness played the Pope.
He did. Then there's three guys who fit that category. He didn't turn up on my list.
And John Gielgud actually played the Pope in Shoes of the Fisherman, the Pope before, the first Pope before he died, and then Anthony Quinn becomes Pope after him.
Oh. Him I should have remembered. Okay, people, there's four. Alec Guinness, Anthony Quinn, and John Gielgud. I'm looking for one more. We'll stop Dana now.
All right.
Yeah. Jerry, you have it? Somebody you know.
Somebody I know?
Well, you know.
Personally?
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Not impossible.
Okay.
Jerry knows a lot.
Why do you single me out?
Well, I'm trying to quiet Dana.
Yeah.
She's just knocking him off.
Oh, I see. So I would know this person.
Well, of him. Yeah.
You didn't give a decade, of course.
I did not.
No. You learned your lesson.
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. Dana didn't need that. Anyway, so one person out, at least one other actor's out there who won an Academy Award for one performance.
And this is a big name star?
Big name, big star.
Is he still alive?
No.
No.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter.
Hi, Yazid. So tonight we have that Super Moon, Blood Moon, and Harvest Moon. So we know Blood Moon because it will look like blood when it's total eclipse. But why is it Super Moon? I told you that last week. See if anybody else. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Is it something?
Why is it called supermoon?
Is it has something to do with the amount, how it appears to the eye in the sky? It takes up more space.
Yeah, that and some more.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Isn't it closer, slightly closer to the Earth because of the rotation?
It's closer to the Earth. You're right. That's what I told you.
Yeah.
But why do they call it harvest moon?
Because this is traditionally the
harvest time.
And also they would harvest by the light of the moon because it was so bright.
But a bit more
at
specific.
Night.
Bit more specific.
I can't get it. Isn't that specific enough? What do I have to do?
No, I will tell you the answer. September. Whenever you have super moon in September, it's called
harvest moon.
Harvest moon.
Okay. Oh, just in September.
It has to be in September.
Harvest.
From Egypt to Europe to everywhere.
Shine and harvest.
Okay. Very quickly, NASA is going to announce something breaking through about Mars tomorrow. What do you think is going to announce?
Who is?
NASA.
NASA.
Is there any tie into the movie The Martian?
Well, their headline is say, "The Secret of Mars Revealed."
I
don't know myself. I'm asking you.
Is it something to do with what the polar ice cap on Mars?
No, I think something more serious than that.
Oh, more serious?
Yeah.
I was going for more frivolous.
Yeah. More serious. Are we sending some mission there? I mean, non.
No, I think they discovered something about the nature of Mars that is unique. I am going to just give you one guess. It may be that they have discovered some sort evidence of life.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I wish they would, so they would quit spending money exploring it.
Okay. Answer from last week. The great mathematician, actually she was German, she emigrated to United States in 1933, but she died 2 years later. Her name was Emmy Noether, N-O-E-T-H-E-R, and she's the one that Einstein called mathematical genius of the age, significant creative mathematical genius. Yeah. And actually, she did a lot of his math. She did a lot of math Einstein used in his general theory of relativity was done by her. Einstein was not really that big in math. Really wasn't. He was genius. But he just put other people work together, just like she and Lawrence with a Z, and Michael and Morley experiment and things like that. But he was terrible in math in high school.
Right.
So he depended on other people.
All right.
Thank you, great show, and I hope we hear something really good tomorrow from NASA.
All right. Thanks, Ed. Bye-bye. All right. We're about, I was going to mention that movie Mars Needs Women, which is...
That's what they're announcing. Well, the movie Could The be. Martian opens this week, so I was thinking they got some free publicity.
That's very possible. Yeah. Things don't happen in a vacuum.
Mars Needs Women is epic.
And Red Planet Mars, too.
I'm confused about this moon business. Harvest Moon is a big moon, a bright moon. What is a red moon?
A blood moon, you mean. Blood moon?
Blood moon, yeah.
So there's going to be a reddish hue on the moon tonight.
Why is that?
I think it's because of the eclipse, but actually I wouldn't be the one to know for sure.
Oh, okay.
Now he's going to call back.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Somebody.
I'm sorry.
You shouldn't ask these open-ended science questions.
Just trying to learn.
All right. I know.
Never too late to learn.
Never too late.
Yeah.
All right. We're a little past halfway through the show. Let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
Well, someone got my Yogi Bear question. So what do these musicals have in common? The Fantastics, Three Penny Opera, 42nd Street, Carnival, and Chicago.
And still don't want to give us a hint? We're not close.
I would if I could think of a good one. Let me think a second.
Can you give us any sort of, let's see, not a hint exactly, but...
Well, he asked a lot of questions I could say no to. That's kind of easier to do. So why don't you pepper me with a question or two?
Well, I don't know where to begin on this because I'm not sure. Yeah. Fantastics is an off-Broadway show. In other words, they're off-Broadway.
It has nothing to do with where they were.
Where they were.
No.
Okay. It has nothing to do with the cast?
Yes.
It has something to do with the cast.
Oh,
same person in all of them?
I'm not saying any more than that.
Jerry Orbach.
You got it. See, I knew if I answered it. They all feature Jerry Orbach.
That comes from watching late-night reruns of Law & Order, basically.
He's been in everything. I didn't know he...
Well, why would that
Because it just reminded me, every time I see Jerry Orbach, it reminds me he was a musical
comedy
star.
They did a nice tribute. You know, when he died, they did a nice tribute on Law & Order. They showed pictures of him, and in the background they played Try to Remember from The Fantastics.
Oh, all right. That's good.
He's sort of the Utah of Broadway actors. He was in so many things.
He was one of my favorites. Yes. A lot of people's favorites. Yeah. But he was just a wonderful actor.
Yeah.
Was that it for you, Jerry? Was that your only question out?
No. That's the only one out. Yeah.
Okay. And Laurie?
And I have an actor who won an Academy Award played the Pope in a movie, and I'm looking for who he is. He didn't win the Academy Award for being the Pope.
It seems to me like Paul Scofield would have played the Pope at some point.
Yeah.
No?
Well, he played a cardinal, right?
Yeah.
Thomas More.
That's what I'm thinking, of course.
Yeah. He's
Never got graduated, huh?
No.
To Pope school.
The smoke did not go up.
Yeah, wait a minute. God, there have been a lot of actors that played the Pope. This is an actor with a certain amount of gravitas, I take it.
I was going to say, it has to be a very serious-looking guy.
Yeah.
He's a serious-looking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't think of him like John Gielgud serious, or I don't, but he's serious.
Is he an English actor?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the Ians.
It's not. We already got rid of Alec Guinness and John Gielgud.
He is British, you said.
Yes.
He is British.
Olivier ever play the Pope? No.
Not on my list. Olivier.
Never Olivier, I guess.
Yeah.
No. He doesn't have enough that kind of gravitas.
Yeah.
All right. So... All right. What do I have out? Dorothy Parker, the wit and writer, was nominated
and drinker.
Yeah, was nominated for an Academy Award twice for screenwriting. Once for a very famous film from the 30s that's been remade a couple of times. And she also, well, she was not nominated for this, but she also co-wrote a Hitchcock film. What Hitchcock film was that?
Did she write one of the, maybe the first Thin Man movie?
No, that's a good guess.
That's a pretty good guess.
Kind of her kind of
but
thing,
no.
Yeah.
Okay, how about the Hitchcock Foreign Correspondent?
No, that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Me too.
But how about
screenwriting Front Page?
No. No.
Good guess. Yeah.
Well, she had an affair. She got pregnant by Charlie MacArthur.
Did she?
Yes. I read that today. She had an abortion, but she got pregnant.
When he was with Helen Hayes?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good scandal.
Let's see. Oh, yes. Second question. Second question was, what are the three best-selling books of all time by American women authors?
Come on, Lori, we got to get this.
Well, we do.
And I'm gonna tell you, I'll break it down a little bit for you here. Okay. They're all mid to late 20th century books. One of them is a novel; the other two are nonfiction.
Oh,
okay.
Well, you're right. Yeah. No.
So the three best-selling books of all time by American women authors. Okay?
Are any of them like a gimmicky potboiler?
You mean like a murder mystery kind of potboiler?
Like what?
Like a murder mystery, you mean?
No, just like a self-help book.
Well, that's not a potboiler. You're mixing all your metaphors here.
The definition of potboiler to me.
Yes, one of them is a self-help book. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
That's Susie Orman.
Oh, that's not
it. Not Susie Orman, no.
but is it more of that ilk, like How to Get Rich kind of deal?
It's not about How to Get Rich.
Well, how about Peyton Place?
No.
Great guess. Yeah. Yes. Of course.
I'm sure you've heard...
How about a Jackie Collins? No, she's not American. How about Jacqueline Suzanne?
No.
Oh.
No.
Valley of the Dolls?
Yeah,
Return
yeah,
to the Valley
yeah.
of the Dolls?
Yeah.
These are classics.
Yeah.
Definite potboilers. Yeah.
And
sold more than To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
That is shocking.
Millions more.
Is the novel probably taught in schools?
No.
Because it would be inappropriate for schools?
Inappropriate.
Too mature, maybe.
It has dicey kind of themes in it. There's an incest theme in the book.
Incest theme.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'll send you a copy, Jerry. I know you're familiar with the book. I kind of doubt whether either one of you has read it. But you'll recognize the title, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because these are really well-known books we're
mentioning.
This is in there. And then the nonfiction, too.
Yeah. So I'll tell you the number one book for the three best-selling books of all time by American women authors, the number one book sold 50 million copies. Number two sold 40 million copies. And the number three sold 35 million copies. So
one is a novel, two are not.
One is a novel, and the other two are nonfiction. Yes,
and they're not children's books, I presume.
Most definitely not.
And either any of them turned into movies?
Yes, two of them.
Two of them.
Yes, I think. One I'm not absolutely sure was turned into a movie. Maybe a documentary, but. Yeah, but the novel was turned into a fiction film. Yeah, it was turned into a feature film. And
50 million. That's a lot of copies.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, David.
Oh, you'd be killing me if you guys are trying to get close to these answers. Dana, you're going to feel the agony, and I'm going to feel the ecstasy for getting Rex Harrison.
Oh, there you go. Good.
Is that one of yours? That's mine.
That's yours.
That's the Pope question.
That's Rex Harrison.
Rex Harrison.
Oh,
John.
Yes. Very
he played
good.
Pope Julius
the
II. Very good.
And then for the books written by women, is Silent Spring one of them?
That's a very good guess, but no, not Silent Spring.
No? What about The Feminine Mystique?
That's also an excellent guess, but no.
Rats. Okay. This one I don't know about the novel. Is it the Twilight novels, are they written by women?
Are they written by women?
I think they are.
Well, I figured from that, that's not the answer.
But it's not, they haven't sold as many copies as this.
Right. Okay.
All right.
And then, okay, so, and everyone's got all my Canadians were sniped by other people.
Oh, well.
So I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, there were three number one music hits in the 1960s where the singer asked you to come on, baby.
Come on, baby, what? Come on. Let me take you where the action is. No?
I'm sorry?
There's one song called Baby, Come On, Let Me Take You Where the Action Is.
No.
Okay.
So the actual words are Come On, Baby.
Come On, Baby.
Come On, Baby, Light My Come On, Baby, Light
Probably
My Fire.
About every other song written
That's
has that phrase.
Three.
Light My Fire is one.
Good job.
Light My Fire is one.
Baby.
These were all number one hits, by the
number
way.
Number one hit, okay.
All right.
In the 60s.
Every song in the hit parade has that phrase in it, doesn't it?
Oh, good, good. Gabby said, Come On, Baby, Let's Do the Twist.
Let's Do the Twist.
Very good.
Good.
Yeah,
good job.
Let's Do the Twist. Very good. Debbie's good. Twisting in there.
And there's one more.
Baby.
Can you tell us the years of the other one?
It was all three of these are from the 1960s. That is, these are three from the 1960s number one hits.
Come on, baby. Can you hum it a little?
Well, I'll tell you this. It's another dance song, like the twist.
Right. Okay, I like the twist.
Oh. Well, they had another twist song that was also number one, wasn't it?
The Peppermint Twist was one, but I don't think that had Come On, Baby.
Oh, Chubby Checker did another twist song.
He did. Let's Twist Again.
Let's Twist Again.
I don't think that had Come
right.
On, Baby.
No, okay.
Was it a Chubby Checker repeat?
No.
No. Okay. All right.
No?
Gosh. Can you go any further?
Could it be...
It introduces another dance.
How about the locomotion?
Come on, baby, do the locomotion.
Go, good job.
There you go.
Good
job. Wow, very, who sang that?
That was Little Eva. Carol King wrote it for the woman who babysat her kids, and that was Little Eva.
Right. Very good. Yeah. Oh, boy.
So we just got one, huh? We got one missing.
No, we got them all.
Oh, we got them all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great.
The Twist, Light My Fire, and the locomotion.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hard work.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
Didn't John Gielgud play the Pope twice?
Ooh, what was the other
one? I know he played the Pope in The Shoes of the Fisherman.
Right, but I don't know if it's a TV movie or not, but it's called The Black and the Scarlet with Gregory Peck.
Oh, right, The Scarlet and the Black. That's about the priest that faced off with the Nazis when they occupied Rome during World War II. That's completely plausible that he did that, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know if it was a TV movie or a movie.
It was a TV movie. It was a miniseries, I think.
Oh, okay. Best-selling, The Sea Around Us?
That's a good guess. No, not The Sea Around Us.
Beloved?
No.
Where else am I? Oh, Dorothy Parker, Sabotage. Saboteur,
yes. Saboteur, 1942. Very good.
That's Hitchcock, right?
That's Hitchcock, yes.
And the other thing that she got an Oscar for, was it based on an Edna Ferber book?
It was not.
Okay, so I don't know what that is. I got one, Bill. I'm good.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Is it my turn? I think it's my turn. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. I'm going to give you four types of food, and... I want you to tell me the U.S. state where these foods are the most popular. In other words, this individual food is most eaten in these states. Okay?
Would this be per capita or total?
Probably per capita.
Okay.
So, okay, here are the four foods. Number one, the hoagie sandwich. Number two, green chili. Number three, walleye, which is a fish. And number four, jalapeno pepper. So, number one, hoagie sandwich. Number two, green chili. Number three, walleye, which is a fish. And number four, jalapeno pepper. So, what individual states are those foods the most eaten
in? I say jalapeno would be Texas.
No.
New Mexico.
No.
How about the hoagie is in Pennsylvania?
You're absolutely right.
Very good. Pennsylvania. That's where it's from, right?
I think so.
Why is it called that? Because Hoagie Carmichael invented it?
I don't know. Well,
I don't know.
Because it's one of those things. It's one of those things that has 20 different names depending where you're from.
I don't know.
Green chili.
Green chili.
Walleye.
Walleye is, I think, an East Coast fish.
How about Maine?
No.
Massachusetts?
No.
Okay, I give up.
All right.
So I don't eat any of those things.
How about the walleye in Georgia?
No. Okay. It's not a southern fish.
It's not at all.
No, walleye is definitely not a southern fish.
Where's walleye?
So we're still looking for green chili, walleye, and jalapeno pepper. What individual states are each of those foods the most popular in? So, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, good. My guess for the women authors would either be Pearl Buck for The Good Earth or Margaret Mitchell for Gone with the Wind?
Neither one.
Oh, darn. Okay. And my other guess would be for the jalapeno, would that be New Mexico?
It would not.
I said that. No.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry. Okay, well, what about Minnesota for the walleye?
You're absolutely right. Oh, Minnesota.
Very it's, good.
Walleye is mostly a Midwestern fish. You know, basically.
Okay, that's all my guess.
I grew up in Illinois. Unless they put it in gefilte
fish.
Well,
it's a lake. It's a lake.
It's a part of the gefilte family.
It's a freshwater lake fish.
Yeah. How about Arizona for jalapeno?
No. No.
Wow.
It should be.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, Chris from El Cerrito.
Hi, Chris.
For the bestseller in fiction, is it Erica Jong's Fear of Flying?
That's a good guess. And it's down, Erica Jong is down there a
so
ways.
So to speak.
But it was a very big, okay. it was a very big bestseller, but it wasn't as big as these. Let's put
is that,
that
a book like that, Dana? There's a lot of sex?
Yeah, that one of them does have a lot of sex in it. Yeah,
that's the incest one.
But not Erica Jong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got the Jerry Orbach with all just off the bat. But I had one question, just simple abbreviations, what they stand for. 3M.
Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing.
Manufacturing. Yeah. Right.
Okay. 4H.
It's
heart, health, head, and then
home
and hand or something.
Heart
and health, I think, are in there.
Head, heart,
you got it right. Head, heart, hands, and health. Right.
Hands and
good
health,
job.
Okay.
Good job.
It was in the vows.
5-0?
Well, that's Hawaii 5-0. Well, 5-0 just means Hawaii is the 50th state.
Right, or now it's slang for police.
Oh, okay,
and
right.
Then one harder one, more for the Northwest, is the 4-L.
4-L?
4-L.
Oh, never heard the 4L.
I'm not familiar with that.
4L. 4F, I know. 4L, I know.
That's your draft classification.
Yeah.
4L. What kind of organization is that? Or is it an organization?
It's a labor union.
Oh, it's a labor union. Oh. Is it logging one of them?
Yes. Not exactly, but you got the right industry.
Oh. But not exactly.
Not exactly.
I'm just thinking what, L, where is it?
Labor.
Labor.
Labor logging.
Labor logging.
Lumbering.
Lincoln logs.
Lumber, yeah.
Lumber.
Lumber liquidators.
And limber.
That's as far as we can go, I think.
We're sad.
Okay. It was around World War I, early 20s, the Loyal Legion of Loggers and Lumbermen.
Oh, all right.
I like that.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Lumberjacks, okay. That's cool.
Thank you very much.
Sure, thanks.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nauckman, teacher Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I am your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. We've got a few minutes left. We'll take as many calls as we can. The number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Jerry, do you have something quick?
What is the next year that we read the same upside down as right side up?
Oh, you mean the date-wise?
Yeah. Just the year, not the whole date.
Just the year.
Okay. What was the most recent one?
I don't know. I had that, but I forgot to write it down.
Okay.
It was fairly recent.
Yeah. 10-01.
Yeah, that's good. 10-01. Well, recent for Jerry, anyway.
How about 6,000?
Let's see.
6,009.
6,009.
That's right.
That's good.
Is that right,
really?
6,009 is it. Oh, give that boy a bell.
It's coming up. It's coming right up.
Boy, I better set my alarm. I was just guessing the wildest thing I could think of that qualified. All right.
Oh. Well,
that'll be a fun year.
Yeah. They're always a wild year.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
6009. And Laurie, why don't you go ahead and do one quick?
All right, I have one. I think this is quick. So I gave you one at all the Billboard statistics for 1955 to 59, and we did women and groups. Elvis was the number one singer, male singer in that time. Mm-hmm. Who filled out the top five? So this was based on sales and Billboard magazine rankings. Elvis was number one from 1955 to 1959.
Was Sinatra what?
Sinatra was number seven.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, gee.
All well-known to...
Yeah.
Male.
Are they all men?
All men, and these were not with groups. So these were individual singers like Elvis and Frank Sinatra. And this is late 50s.
Tony Bennett?
Tony's not on the list yet.
It's more of a rock.
It's that people. transition from rock to corny.
Yeah.
You mean from corny to rock?
Whichever way it went.
Corny, okay. Please.
Yeah.
Well, the 50s was a bad...
You're speaking ill of my era.
I have a bad decade.
I'm trying.
Okay, but... All right, so they're... No pop, no real pop singers there?
Well, Elvis is, would you think of Elvis as a pop singer?
No, he's more of a rock. I mean, he's even more like soul and rock.
I would hate to classify him. Well, you know, it was all in that transitional thing from kind of traditional Sinatra-ish thing.
All right.
Yeah, that range. Yeah, it's a good, interesting era.
It's an interesting list.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
This is Thomas Knapp from Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
Hi. We have a guess about women best-selling novelists.
Yes.
This being America, one of them has to be Jacqueline Jackie Collins.
I know, you would think, but remember, I'm looking for American woman women authors. And she lived in America most of her life, but she was British. But anyway...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Jacqueline Suzanne was American, right?
Yeah, but Jacqueline Suzanne.
Yeah,
Suzanne.
But she's not it.
But she's not it either. So it's not Jackie Collins, and it's not Jacqueline Suzanne.
Damn.
I was with you, caller. I thought those were right.
Hmm.
Sexy books.
Keep cleaning. And, all right, well, thank you. Appreciate the call. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Billy from Bernal.
Hi, Billy.
The cartoons. How about Dennis the Menace?
Was he famous?
Who was he named for?
Dennis the Menace. Was that
his name for his son?
Was that he was named for his son?
Yeah, but the question was what famous person was it named for?
Okay, yeah.
So that's correct.
I got Yogi
Bear
right away, but
that's good. That's good though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wasn't there a Ken Russell movie with somebody playing the Pope?
You know, there was, and I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was somebody famous who was nominated for Academy Award.
Something like Elton John or something like that.
It could have been. It could have been. Yeah, it was.
Listomania or something like that.
It was something like that, yeah. Okay. I'll have to look it up.
The last year to be read upside down, 1961?
Jerry?
Yes.
I think you're right, yes.
That is the last most
recent
one.
That is it. It has to be it.
And the next one, 6009.
Yeah. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Yep. How about the singers? Paul Anka?
Paul Anka is number 10 on the list.
Oh, Bobby Darin.
Bobby Darin is...
That's a good guess.
...not on the list.
Whoa.
He's in the
Perry
next...
Perry Como.
Set. He's number 3. Nice going. Give him a bell.
Who?
Oh, thank God.
Perry Como.
Oh, wow.
Johnny Tillotson.
Oh, not... He's not on any list I'm looking at.
Johnny Mathis.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a good thing.
Johnny Mathis.
Johnny Mathis is number 8.
Oh.
Okay, we're still looking for 3 of the top 5. We have Elvis and Perry Como.
Eddie Fisher.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Eddie
Billy.
Fisher.
Eddie Fisher's 14th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, making an appearance. Mm. All right, we're knocking him off. Still need 3 of the top 5.
Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. This is Chris from Mill Valley. I think I've got 4 shots at the books.
Okay.
So, 50 Shades of Grey?
Not quite. And although 50 Shades of Grey sold many millions of copies, the author is English.
Okay, The Secret?
That's also a very good guess, but no.
Okay, Joy Luck Club, Eat, Pray, Love.
No.
Okay, Neil Diamond for the other, one of the top 5?
Neil Diamond would be later, so he's not in the 50s yet.
Well, there we go, I just...
How about Frankie Avalon?
That was a good faith effort, though, I'll say that for you.
0 for 0. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Frankie Avalon's 13th.
Oh.
Okay, we're getting close.
Frankie Avalon.
Yeah. With Annette.
55 to 59.
Yeah. How many are Italian?
Perry Como, Sinatra, Paul Anka, and none of the others.
And
these
are all,
as far as I know.
They're all solos. They're no groups.
You know, I think they all have backup groups, but we know them as solo people.
How about Dean Martin?
Dean Martin, I'm surprised, is not on the list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Jerry Lee Lewis?
Not Jerry Lee. I'm disappointed because I'm such a big fan of his, but he's not in the 50s.
Right.
He had two or three huge hits.
All
of these are bigger.
Little Richard?
Okay.
Little Richard comes along in the next decade.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm right. He's number 12.
Okay.
This is too early for Ricky Nelson, I think, isn't it?
It's not. He's number 6.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's when the TV show was on.
Good.
But we're still looking for 3 of the top 5.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, I'm back on. Speaking of Ricky Nelson.
Yeah.
Guess who has... Oh, anyway, Garrett's question was about Spanish what? Espanol back, was that Ted Williams?
It was about NFL football players.
Oh, football, wasn't
not baseball.
Because Ted Williams was half Spanish.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
How about Johnny Cash for the top 5?
No, he's not in it.
He wasn't big enough then, I don't think.
And I think the country guys were at a
little
different thing.
Pre-Cash.
Okay.
Okay.
Petty Cash.
And speaking of the Nelsons, what are they famous for besides Ricky's famous Poor Little Fool?
Who is what? Say that again.
The Nelson family, you know, Ozzy and Harriet.
Yeah, sure. Yes, I know him well.
Many things. He was a band leader. They had a big TV show.
Yeah, but what involves 3 generations?
Well, in music, of course, the Ricky's or
his offspring had a group called Nelson.
Nelson,
his kids.
Yep, they had a number one hit, and his son did too.
Right. And his daughter was played a nun. His daughter was Tracy Nelson.
Kristen Nelson, who's married to Tom Harmon, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
or Mark Harmon.
All right,
Mark Harmon.
Hey, let's switch directions. Well, how many? They may be dumplings, but what does ravioli mean in Italian?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, well, I think this has come up before.
Creplock.
We're almost out of time, so tell us the answer.
Little turnip.
Little turnips.
Oh, good. Good
thank question. You very much. We have to get going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Worst filling ever for ravioli.
One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Larry in Oakland.
Hi, Larry.
Best-selling author. Is it Color Purple?
It is not The Color Purple.
Oh, thanks anyway.
All right.
Got
thank
a lot
you.
Of calls on that.
Yeah. So let's clean up here. Jerry, what have we got?
I'm clean.
All right. Lori.
I have the top male artists from Billboard magazine from 55 to 59. Number 1 was Elvis. Number 2, Pat Boone.
Oh, yes.
Number
yes.
3, caller got Perry Como. Number 4, Fats Domino. And number 5, Nat King Cole.
Oh, of course.
Oh,
yeah. My
favorite. That makes sense.
And that's it for me.
All right. Dorothy Parker was nominated for Academy Award twice for screenwriting and also wrote a Hitchcock film. The Hitchcock film was, as somebody came up with the answer, Saboteur, 1942. The most famous film that she was nominated for was A Star is Born, 1937.
Yes, that's right. Yes,
I didn't know that.
Yes. And the second one was Smash Up, The Story of a Woman, which was based on Bing Crosby's wife.
Yeah.
And Bing Crosby's first wife?
Yeah, Dixie.
Oh.
And he almost sued over it, but he decided he didn't.
Whose first wife?
Bing Crosby's first wife. That's
is
who
that
it was
right?
based
oh,
on.
Oh,
yeah.
Dixie Lee.
Yeah. And let's see. The particular U.S. state where these foods are the most popular, green chili, that's New Mexico. And jalapeno pepper is Colorado. All right. The 3 best-selling books of all time by American women authors. Number 1, The Height Report.
Oh, yes.
Sherry Height, yes.
Whatever happened to old Sherry, yeah.
50 million copies sold.
Wow.
Number 2,
yeah.
The novel is Flowers in the Attic by V.C. Andrews.
No.
Are you familiar with that book?
Never heard of it.
I know the book.
Yeah, it's kind of
Flowers
junky.
For Algernon, I know.
Flowers in the Attic, yeah.
I'm calling that, I'm calling your sources on that one.
Oh, no, it's definitely. It's
more
definite.
Than The
never
Killer.
Heard
40
of it.
Million copies.
No, it's a big kind of mystery kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Debbie's read it. I've read
never
it.
Heard
number
of it.
3 is...
V.C. Andrews, is that the name of the author?
V.C. Andrews.
Yeah.
Number 3 is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay.
Oh, gosh.
That's the self-help. 35 million copies sold.
The Height
anyway,
Report.
The Height Report's number 1. Yeah, by
millions. And that is the biggest selling book by a woman.
It's the biggest selling book by an American woman author.
In history?
In history.
It's a study of American women's sexuality.
Oh, I remember it well, yeah.
You read it, right? You have an autographed copy.
No, I've heard about it.
Anyway, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Panel tonight, author Jerry Nachman from Dabble Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori.
Thank you.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Of course, our great thanks to Debbie Kennedy for handling the board and phones. And above all, and of course, Steve Wilcott for handling the doing his end on the phones as well. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to call in and listen tonight. And we look forward to you joining us next Sunday at 7. Thanks a lot, everybody. Bye-bye.